जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन बाल भगिरी बलहारी यशोरनंदनव्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदनव्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरं वनचारी जमुना तीरं वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाल भगिरी बलहारी यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरं वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाल भगिरी बलहारी गौर प्रेमानंदी Hare Krishna. Thank you for being here this evening, celebrating Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, and the Christmas Marathon. Thank you. So we'll start with reading a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Before we start, though, I'd just like to tell you one reason I appreciate Bhagavad Gita so much. May I tell you?
Yes.
There was a pastor giving an impassioned speech for his congregation, standing in front of the congregation. And at one point he said, "Everybody who wants to go to heaven, stand up." Everyone stood up. And then he said, "Everyone who wants to avoid going to hell, sit down." Everyone sat down, except one man in the back. The pastor said, "Brother Johnson, you want to go to hell?" He said, "Not really, Pastor. I just thought you shouldn't have to go by yourself." So what I love about Bhagavad Gita is that no point does Krishna condemn or consign the living entity to the eternal lake of fire. He gives his instructions, and then at the very end he says, "And now, I've explained everything. You do what you want to do. Yathechasi tatakuru. Do whatever you wish to do." One gentleman told me, that's my favorite verse from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, do whatever you want to do. But the in the 12th chapter, also you remember, Krishna says, best thing is to think of me without reservation. If you can't do that, then what's next? Anyone remember? Follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, but if you don't want to do that, then you can work for me, yes. And if you don't want to work for me, then work for some higher cause, give some charity, right. So this is so ecumenical, so accepting. This is Krishna's loving and accepting mood in the Gita, one of the things I really love about it. So we're going to read this verse, pertinent to our book marathon, with our staunch book distributors like Divyanga, Adikarta Prabhu, so many others. Thank you very much for all your years of distribution. Adikarta Prabhu goes out on campus at the University of Florida for how many years now, Prabhuji? Last 20 years. Very bold. Thank you. Countless Bhagavad Gitas and other books brought so many nice people to Krishna consciousness. So that is This verse is dedicated to you. Nachatasmin manuseshu. Kaschin me priyakrita maha. Bhavata nachata me tasman. Kas anya priyataro bhuvi. Nachatasman manuseshu. Kaschin me priyakrita maha. Bhavita nacha metasman. Anya priyataro bhuvi. Anyone else like to chant? Nachatasman manuseshu. Me priyakrita maha. Nachatasman manuseshu. Me priyakrita maha. Abhita nacha me tasman. Anya priyataro bhuvi. Anyone else? Nachatasman manuseshu. Kaschin me priyakrita maha. Bhavita nacha me tasman. Anyad priyataro bhuvi. Synonyms, let's say together, please. Na, never. Cha, and. Tasmat, then him. Manusyeshu, among men. Kaschit, anyone. Me, to me. Priyakrit, to maha, more dear. Bhavita, will become. Na, nor. Cha, and. Me, to me. Tasmat, then him. Anya. Another, priya taraha, dear, bhuvi, in this world. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he. That is one who explains this supreme secret of Bhagavad Gita. Nor will there ever be one more dear. And in a subsequent purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, it so happens that sometimes the devotee of the Lord will hold open class, and in that class not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons still hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions, and after that attain to the planetary systems where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. Elsewhere in the Gita, Krishna says that that the wise should not disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to materialism. Yet in his commentary, Srila Prabhupada says, in spite of that, the devotee will try to intervene on behalf of the Lord because he knows the purpose of the Lord's. How many of us have been intervened with by a Vaishnava? Somebody came and disrupted our material life. So this is how Krishna shows his great appreciation for those who take that trouble. So Bhagavad Gita, the song of Krishna, is one of the three great scriptures of the world, the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita. All have roughly an equal readership, counted in the hundreds of millions or billions even. But the Bhagavad Gita is only 5% as long as the Bible, and just 10% as long as the Quran. So in this very concise book, which was spoken extemporaneously in less than an hour, The wisdom of transcendence has been explained in such a clear way that it has been read and studied and revered for thousands of years since then. Now, the Gita talks about five subjects. Anyone remember? What are these five? Just name one of them, Prabhuji. God, Ishwara. Okay, any other? Jiva, the soul. Yes, God, the soul. Call it time. Uh-huh. Karma, right? The interaction with the soul and God. The soul and what? It's the fifth one? Prakriti, yes. Prakriti. So the soul and material nature interact. That results in karma and the sense of time. And all this is going on under the auspices of God, except it's not God's desire that the souls are all mixed up with karma, time, and prakriti. So the Gita is that cogent lesson about how one can get freed of the anxieties of this worldly life. And yet the student of the Gita, Arjuna, is engaged in very worldly activities. He is a warrior. He's about to fight. He decides he doesn't want to fight, something that we can all relate to, where there's just times we don't want to do what we know we should do. So here Arjuna is confronted with a very difficult situation, and he turns to Krishna, what should I do? I have this duty. I don't want to do it. What should I do? So in this teaching of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna not only helps Arjuna understand his existential situation, but he enables and empowers him to recommit himself to his duties with a whole new level of enthusiasm and purpose. It is not that his activities change, but his motivation changes. For example, right off the bat in chapter 1 of the Gita, what does Arjuna say to Krishna? What's the first thing he says in the Gita? Anyone remember? Before that, chapter 1. Take me between the armies. He's commanding God to drive him. That's how confident he is. Take me between the armies so I can see who's gathered on this battlefield before me. But then when he sees, he goes through something we can all relate to, intense depression, anxiety, grief, and fear. So in this state of mind, although he's a powerful warrior, fearless warrior, he loses his nerve and he wants to quit. So here we begin the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna's mood, we can actually trace the Gita very nicely through Arjuna's mood through the chapters, you know. He begins with confidence, great confidence, and very quickly he's in incredible depression and anxiety and despair. Then after expressing all of his frustration and fear, he turns to Krishna and says, I don't know what to do, please instruct me. So that's when the relationship between Krishna, the charioteer, and Arjuna, the warrior, changes. And at that point, Krishna becomes his teacher. So herein is the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, what Krishna speaks to his depressed and anxiety-ridden student, Arjuna. So he begins by telling Arjuna, look, you're on the material platform, you're just looking at the body, you're not looking at the spiritual content of the person. This is the first and foundational teaching of the Gita, that the soul is different than the body. I know in my years of theology or theological study or, you know, my childhood, no one ever explained this to me. You know what I mean? No one ever could put it in such clear terms. The idea of a soul was nebulous, was considered a kind of tenet of belief. It was not at all something that was tangible or impactful in my life. But in the Gita, that's right where it starts. You are looking at things all wrong. You're looking as if you're white or black or male or female or tall or short or old or young. But you are actually none of these things. That's just your physical body. That's just your car in which you are driving somewhere. But it's the driver that's important, isn't it? Not the car. This is how Krishna begins shaking up Arjuna and helping him deal with his anxieties. So Arjuna is a real person, one of the beautiful things of the Gita, that he asks questions that all of us could relate to. For example, after Krishna explains how you're not this body, how you should act in yoga for a higher purpose, then Arjuna says, well, on the one hand, you think I should act spiritually, but on the other hand, you want me to fight in this terrible war. So You're equivocal. You're ambiguous. What are you doing? Very honest and sincere and meaningful question, isn't it? Sometimes people think that spirituality means we have to check our intelligence at the door and just go in and believe, I believe. But real spirituality means just the opposite. It means you challenge your intelligence to think in an entirely new way than you have ever thought before. That's Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is being challenged, and he responds with good questions, real questions. The instructions are equivocal. You want me to be spiritual and material at the same time? So then Krishna explains that yoga means to work in a detached way. Do what you have to do, but without attachment. So this goes on. Arjuna asks Krishna, you're explaining this to me, and I understand. And Krishna says, yes, I've been explaining it for a long time. In fact, I explained it to the sun god millions of years ago. So what does Arjuna do? Again, a very human question, a very real question. Now, wait a minute. You're saying you explained this to this great elderly deity so long ago, but you're the same age as I am. How could you have possibly instructed him back then? And there, Krishna, for the first time, really discloses his divinity to Arjuna. We've both passed through many lives. We've had many incarnations. I can remember them, but you cannot. So then Arjuna goes on to inquire. Krishna explains more about how to practice yoga, not just the exercises of yoga, but the internal yoga, the yoga of connecting with the Supreme, the existential transformation that comes from yoga. So in chapter 6, Krishna is explaining, Arjuna, look, you can do these classical practices of yoga. Go to the forest, sit on a deerskin, practice meditation, close down all of your senses to the bare minimum. Do this, and then you'll come to the platform of blissful samadhi. And what does Arjuna say?
Impossible.
Yes. I think it would be easier, very sarcastic remark, you know. I think it would be easier to control the wind. I love the way he's just being so candid with Krishna. And Krishna says, it's difficult, but it is possible for one who is determined and who continues practicing. So in this way, Arjuna becomes convinced. By chapter 10, he's fully convinced. And he says, Krishna, all these sages in the past have said that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you are saying it for yourself. This is very significant about Bhagavad Gita. You know, there's a Shiva Purana, and various deities are described in various Puranas in parts of the Vedic literature. But nowhere does anyone say, I am supreme, but Krishna. Multiple times in the Gita. What are some verses in the Gita where Krishna says he's supreme? Yes, everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. Yes. Any others you can think of? Did anyone but Pran Govinda read Bhagavad Gita? Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Brahman comes from me. Very good. Any others? Ishwara sarvabhutanam. I'm sitting in everyone's heart as a super soul. So many. So, in fact, Krishna uses the personal pronoun, I counted once, about 200 times in the Bhagavad Gita. Either I or me or mine. You know, he is very explicit about his position. And again, this is one of the great, incredible, unique qualities of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Arjuna is convinced. He says, all these sages said it about you in the past, now you're saying about yourself. And how should I meditate on you? Then Krishna tells him all the ways he can see God in nature. But then Arjuna wants to see more. He says, well, how about your awesome material creation and your position as a creator of everything in the universe, the universal form? So then again, Krishna obliges. He shows him this incredible sight, which includes all the awesome beauty of nature as well as its fearsome side. He sees all of his relatives and friends running into the mouth of death in the universal form. And it's very frightening. Arjuna, again, in a very real and human way, he becomes overwhelmed with fear. And this is another part of the Gita, which is so profound, isn't it? That Krishna is showing the beauty of material nature, but he's also showing the fearsome side of material nature. Because vidya cha vidyam cha yastad vedo bhayam saha, you need to know both sides. Right? Generally, our strategy in the material world is just not look at the negative part. Just try to postpone it, procrastinate it, cover it up, and ignore it. A very unsuccessful strategy. Like the rabbit who's caught in a fox canyon, has no route for escape, and the fox is closing in, he goes to his ultimate weapon. This is how we deal with the fearsome side of the universal form. So Arjuna says, who are you? You're killing everybody. Who are you? To which Krishna responds, time I am, right? Kalosmi Bharatarshava. I am time, the all-devouring death. So now Arjuna's mood changes again from being very devoted and very ecstatic and very inquisitive to being absolutely overwhelmed and then very contrite. Oh my God. Oh my Krishna, I've treated you in such familiar ways, and now I see I was so foolish to think of you in this very informal way that I've always treated you. So please forgive me, he says, like a lover would forgive a beloved, or a parent would forgive a child. Forgive me for all the inconsiderate, overfamiliar things that I've ignorantly done. So to this, Krishna again reveals his form. He assumes his form of Krishna. Why is that? Because Krishna does not like this awe and reverence from an intimate devotee, especially an intimate devotee like Arjuna. You know, Krishna is not this loner who has no friends. He's not looking for a date on Tinder. He's not an orphan or an outcast. You know, he has all the relationships. And with his intimate devotees especially. So this, again, this section of the Gita shows Arjuna going from the awe and reverence to fear to familiar. And this pleases Krishna very much. So at that point, Arjuna again inquires submissively. And the final six chapters of the Gita are dedicated to those questions, showing that there is a Vedanta behind the bhakti. There is knowledge and sound reasoning behind the philosophy, the mood of love for Krishna. The Gita is sometimes compared to a sandwich, you know, the bread on the top and the bottom, and then the contents of the sandwich in the middle. So the first six chapters are dedicated to karma yoga. The last six chapters dedicated to jnana yoga, but in the middle is bhakti. You want bhakti protected on both sides, because really that is the core of the Gita. There are so many things leading Arjuna up to the final conclusion of the Gita. So much knowledge is there at the end. That's where Krishna speaks this beautiful ecumenical phrase. Now, yate chasi tata kuru. You do whatever you wish. I've explained everything, now do what you wish to do. No threats, no pressure. Because if there's threats or pressure or guilt or shame, how can there be love? You can't love God out of guilt. You can't love God out of shame. You can't love God out of fear. Love is love, and it has nothing to do with those negative emotions. This is the essential meaning of the Gita, which Arjuna learns and which elevates him again to that same level of enthusiasm he had at the beginning. Now I'm ready to fight and to act according to your instructions. And we will win this war. He again speaks with great confidence. But what has changed? Now he knows that he's doing his battle for Krishna. He's doing his war for Krishna. Why did Krishna appear in this world in the first place? Anyone remember from the 10th canto? What's that? Anybody? Well, that's, yes, Paritranaya Sadhanam, yes, that's from the Gita. He delivers the pious, but specifically, why did he come to earth at this time, 5,000 years ago? From the first chapter of the 10th canto. Yes, the earth was. It was overburdened with excessive military forces. So Arjuna had this vital role to play in dealing with that problem. And Krishna wanted him to do it. So he tells Arjuna, look, your nature is to fight. You're going to fight anyway. You can be an instrument in my mission, or you can give up your duties. So this is why Arjuna becomes so enthusiastic at the end. He's doing what he's going to do, but he's doing it for Krishna. He's doing it for Krishna. That is the essential message of Bhagavad Gita. So as we read in this verse from the 18th chapter, Nachatasmin Manuseshu, Krishna is very pleased with those who try to share the message of Bhagavad Gita. But he's also pleased with those who live by the message of Bhagavad Gita. We don't see Arjuna preaching. You see Arjuna preaching with his arrows. Right? He is doing his service for Krishna. So this is very important for us, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, to understand. You remember at the end of Srila Prabhupada's life, he said, I've established 50% of my mission, which is book distribution. But then he wanted to come back to the West for what purpose? Right. So the other 50% of his mission, to help people, help his disciples, and help people in general learn to live off the land. Here in Alachua, a lot of us live off the land. We have mobile homes about, 2-3 feet off the ground. But Abhiram Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's nurse at that time, told me that Prabhupada's anxiety was this. He saw all of these young men and women distributing books very enthusiastically, but he was concerned, how are they going to stay in Krishna consciousness through their life? So this, we can say in a broad sense, is varnashram, that you will act in various capacities according to your nature and according to your circumstances, but you'll learn to do it for Krishna, just like Arjuna in the Gita. So whatever our capacity, whatever our particular service is, samsidhir haritoshanam. If it's done for Krishna, then it's perfect. And really, it doesn't really, swanustitasya dharmasya, whatever your particular nature, your swadharma may be. If you do it for Krishna, that's the perfection. Now, we used to think in the early days, since there's a lot of us old-timers here in Alachua, we used to think that being a devotee meant being a clergyman, being a missionary. And that was what it meant to be Krishna conscious. Right? But as it turns out, most of us don't really have that propensity. I mean, there's 350,000 religious organizations in the United States. Of them, and most of them, there's one shepherd and many sheep, right? That is a particular vocational activity, brahminical, true, very auspicious, true, but just one of many that make up the varnashram system. So the perfection of varnashram, whatever it may be, whatever our service may be, is to do it for Krishna. And as Vaishnavas, we can go a step further, and whatever situation we're in, Yari daha tarika Krishna upadesh amargya guru hoy tara edesh. Try to share Krishna consciousness with whomever you meet, any opportunity that you have. So this is living Bhagavad Gita. I remember many years ago there was a debate at a North American leadership meeting. I'm not sure if you were there, Balabhanta Prabhu, you might remember this. It was in Los Angeles. Swavas and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj were debating what should our mission statement be for North America. So Vas Prabhu was saying, yes, book distribution. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying, well, we have to take care of the devotees. So they finally agreed the mission would be to distribute books and establish communities that are living the books. So that is the dual program that Srila Prabhupada had, 50-50, to not only distribute the books, but live them. Now, distributing is very important. That is part of our service to Prabhupada, intimate service, and as much as possible, all of us should do that. But even more than that, all of us need to live the books. As Krishnadas Kaviraj says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the principles of religion are established not by logic and debate, but by the behavior of the devotees. So what we do speaks more loudly than anything else. And if we have the capacity and the opportunity to intervene in someone's life, Well, that is all the more ecstatic. So that's my spiel. I'll stop there. Now a word from our sponsor, if I may. In 1962, Srila Prabhupada, sitting in Vrindavan, alone, practically penniless, and he was writing the Srimad Bhagavatam with a manual typewriter. Somehow, at that time, he took time out, at the age of 66, to put the Bhagavad Gita into poetry, into Bengali poetry. He wrote the book and serialized it in one of his godbrother's Bengali newspapers. So later, it was actually published not as a book, but as a serial magazine article. So by 1972, he had established the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, and so he took that poetry, assembled it in a book, and printed it for distribution in Bangladesh and Bengal. And the book is called the Gitar Gan, which it means singing the Bhagavad Gita. So he wanted these Bengali verses to be sung, and the book became very, very popular in Bengal. So it has been distributed there for decades. In 1996, as an offering for Srila Prabhupada's centennial, Bhakti Churu Maharaj, our dear departed godbrother, took the Gitar Gan and had all of the verses set to music by professional musicians in various ragas and sung in Bengali, and then he published the book with all the verses and the translations from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So that was a beautiful book, but the actual full translation has never been done before. So just at the beginning of the pandemic, I was with my friend in Calcutta, Swarup Krishna Prabhu. He's the father of one of our Krishna House graduates and a noted Vaishnava in that city, in Yatra. So he and I decided to collaborate during this epidemic or this pandemic and just go through and translate the entire Gitar Gan word for word. So he did the synonyms, and then I took them and tried to put them into poetry because I'm kind of a pinheaded poet, and that's what I enjoy doing for Krishna. So the result is this book on the altar, the Gitar Gan. It is just the text of the Gita, and yet Prabhupada interweaves in it a lot of commentary because there's no purports for the verses. So this Gitar Gan is poetically beautiful, and we have attempted to present it in a transparent way for you. As an example of the way that he weaves in commentaries, I've selected three of the verses. There's dozens of nuances that a person familiar with the Gita as it is can see. But these are three examples of how he has commentary woven into what Krishna says. Bujite parina pala kotaya gani mahala konakaya jujaya amaya kiva ami jaya kari kimba ami nija mari duinoka amera nischaya. The translation, let's scroll down please. Yes. Should I kill them? This is Arjuna speaking in chapter 2. Should I kill them or they kill me? I'm caught in a dichotomy, as if a man with feet on separate rafts. To kill my friends who will not run, or at Dhritarashtra's hostile sons, assures us only sorrow unsurpassed. Do you remember this anywhere in the Gita? Arjuna says, I'm like a man with a foot on two boats. So, okay, next verse. This is from chapter 6. If you could scroll up a bit, Karnapur Prabhu, thank you. Anasakta vishayete yata karma dridha samsara se kupa hate nija atma kada. Please. Atma ke udhara kara atmara uchitta atma udhata. Atma yi atmara bantu atma yi se ripu atmara satruye haya hiranya kashipu. Hiranyakashipu in the Gita. Translation. By working with detachment and resolve, one saves the soul from endless wells of worldliness where it has long been pulled. A friendship with the mind makes this much easier to do, for otherwise the mind is like Hiranyakashipu. All right, and one final example here from the very end of the Gita. Yata Yogeshwara Krishna Partha Danurtara Tata Sri Vijaya Bhute Juva Nirantara Yehi Nama Sehi Krishna Nahi Se Antara Shuddha Nama Yara Haya Sehi Duradhara. Wherever there is Krishna, the supremely mystic soul, and anywhere Arjuna wields his arrows and his bow, great power, wealth, and triumph come, and learned souls proclaim there is no real distinction between Krishna and his name. This was Prabhupada's parting verse. He wanted to make sure, although we don't see it, do we, in chapter 18, but Prabhupada wanted to make sure that Krishna's holy name was there at the conclusion of the Gita for all his readers. So these are some examples, and if you would like to get a copy of this book, just newly published this evening, we'll have some on a book table out in front. We ask a $10 donation, and if you donate for one, then we will sponsor one Bhagavad Gita as it is for the Christmas marathon for everyone that is sold tonight. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now, any comments or reflections on Gita? Anyone like to share anything? Arjuna? This is Arjuna Krishna Das. Good name for this. Here we go. Thank you.
I liked when you were talking about how in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that it's not like by debating that we're going to convince people, but it's by our like behavior. And I was thinking, like, if we don't like look happy, then why would other people want to be like us if we're not happy ourselves?
Right.
So, yeah, I was just reflecting, like, being happy in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you for that. It's such a great point. Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Our late godbrother Param Brahma used to say, that was not a blessing, that was an order. So we have this mission to find out what makes us happy in Krishna consciousness, which is a nice service, don't you think? You just have to find out what is it that makes us happy and then do that. Because there's a good chance if something is making us happy sustainably, that's what Krishna wants us to do. All right, thank you, Prabhu. Any other last comments, reflections?
I would say I really appreciate that you spend the time to translate this. Even though I'm a Bengali, but I never fell in love. Actually, more I'm reading this, just the last few minutes, it's like it's so wonderful. I think it will be more attractive to the Bengalis to read through English. Because the way you translate it, it's very attractive and simple. Mm. And when I remember reading Gita Gan maybe 30, 40 years back, I was not like finding that kind of like applying practically in life. Mm. Like end of that verse, Jatra Jogeshwara Krishna, I don't see the holy name there, but Prabhupada added here. But because you translated that, now I said, oh, it makes sense. It was there, but I never saw it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'm glad
that was wonderful.
Thank you very much. This is the English edition only, with just a sample Bengali chapter. We are hoping to publish the full Bengali English edition in India. Yes, Prabhu.
This is a little off topic from the book, but it is in response to some of the comments that you made about the living Bhagavad Gita. Hmm. So Prabhupada was in India, and he was with one man, and the man was bragging to Prabhupada that, I have read Bhagavad Gita 100 times. And Prabhupada says, yes, but have you lived Bhagavad Gita one day? And then early on, you talked about how we have to do our service. We have to do our occupational duty and do it for Krishna. Mm. So early on, there was one devotee, and he said to Prabhupada that he had this job lined up, but it wasn't a very good job, but it was a job. And Prabhupada said, well, blind uncle better than no uncle. And then he said, yes, Lord Prabhupada, I'll be serving meat. And Prabhupada said, oh, not so blind.
a real challenge. You know, we got most of us who had some brahmacharyas had zero training or preparation for becoming grihasthas. It's pretty much, thanks a lot, you know, we'll see you on Sundays. Good luck. So now we know a little better. Yes, so devotees can be prepared and stay in Krishna consciousness. All right, any last comments? Anyone? Okay. All right, thank you so much. Have a good evening. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.